You're tuned into KKCR, Kauai Community Radio.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And welcome to the CAB show today. This is Maren O'Ryan. I'm here manning the board today, and I would like to introduce our fearless leader of the CAB, Mickey Sussman. Aloha, Mickey. Wait, oh, let me turn on your mic. That might be helpful. You are... Not yet.
Not yet?
There
Hold
we go.
On.
Now
there
we got go. You. We got
okay.
you now.
Aloha, everybody.
Aloha.
Welcome to our listeners around the island and around the world. And thank you, Maren, for coming in and being our engineer for today. This is the Community Advisory Board 5th Monday show. And I want to welcome everybody, and I'll give you a brief introduction of what the Community Advisory Board is.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to read about the underwriters.
Oh, okay.
I want to say.
That's right.
The Community Advisory Board show is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee Company and Kalaheo Chiropractic.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
All right. Now we can get down to
okay,
business here.
Okay, very good.
Thank you to our underwriters, Mahalo, for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
And thank you, everybody, for supporting KKCR with the pledge drive.
That was great.
And we're back again. So I'll tell you, the Community Advisory Board is a special addition to KKCR and the Kekahu Foundation. Some people may not know. We take feedback and try to guide the policies and the programming of KKCR through the board of directors and through the staff. We kind of filter everything that the island has to say. It's willing to come forward. And we process it and digest it and try to find some consensus with it. And if we feel that it's important, we pass it on to the board as recommendations. And we are mandated by the funding that we get from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is something that distinguishes us from many nonprofits, even public nonprofits. That's one of the standards that we have to adhere to, having a community advisory board. And before I go any further, let me say the disclaimer that I don't always say. Okay, so I want to say it now.
Okay.
And this is important to get.
Yeah.
That the three of us that are in here now, I'll introduce us in a minute, are talking as individuals, and nothing that we say is necessarily in agreement with KKCR, its programmers, its staff, its underwriters. We're talking as individuals. When we have meetings as a community advisory board and we vote on things, that's different.
Hmm.
We come to consensus and we try to figure out what's the best for the greater good, but we have to put everything on the table first in order to make a determination like that. So this is what we're doing now. And, you know, I want to invite the community to participate on any level you think is appropriate.
So in inviting the community to participate, that means calling in right now or maybe sending you an email?
This is Annie Caparuccio, our
Yay!
Famous scribe.
Hello.
Who is a new board member, relatively new.
Almost 3 years, man.
Okay.
Time flies, though. When
newer than me.
Fun, doesn't it?
Okay, and we've introduced Maren. Maren was a board member for quite a while. Maren's a volunteer, board member, contributor, participant, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
And we were going to have Larry here. I don't know what happened to him. Hopefully it wasn't a medical emergency since he's a doctor.
Hopefully not.
Well, there's that.
Okay. So I'll introduce him. We have a special guest today. We have... Charlie Rossler. And would you like to speak to your some of your experience, or would you like me to run by?
No, I can speak to it, Mickey. That's
okay.
Fine. Yeah, I'm a longtime resident of Kauai, although I haven't consistently been here for 40 years. I first came in 72 when I met Mickey. But I taught out at KCC for 13 years as a lecturer. I think I taught every English course that they have out there. As soon as someone would go on sabbatical or something, I'd teach that. I also taught the journalism course, the television production course, radio production course, almost anything they threw at me. After that, I got back into actual direct media work. I worked in daily newspapers for 11 years, 4 years in Japan at the Japan Times, which is an English language newspaper there, and 7 years at the Buffalo News, where I ended up working on the editorial page, handling the letters to the editor, was one of my jobs. So I'm quite familiar with the editing process, and that's what I am. I'm an editor. I also did some radio work, and then for 10 years I worked in tobacco control here on Kauai. I was the we were funded by the tobacco industry after they lost the lawsuit and had to give up $200 billion because of the distortions and the lies and the addiction and the disease that they caused for decades. And we worked on that. We're still working on that. I'm not directly involved now. But that's kind of basically my background. I'm very interested in mass media. I'm not as equipped to discuss social media as some others might be, but mass media, I've studied it, I understand it, I think, and I really enjoy going into analyzing the process of mass media.
Well, great. I'm really excited to get you in here and your experience from leading from one thing to another is really interesting, and I'm going to say it on the air. I hope you find the time to start getting involved up here and find a place, you know, whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, as
you
long
don't
you
have to do commit to a whole show, but if you can just do whatever you can do, we'll greatly appreciate.
Thanks, Mickey. I hope I can contribute more.
And you're a solid member of the community here for a long time, and I just appreciate you getting up here. So maybe we should start with, I guess, some of your involvement with the tobacco-free Hawaii.
Yeah, I can talk about that a little bit.
I mean, what I'm concerned with, and you know, just you can just consider it, is the whole way that evolved with going through information had to. This was before the internet, so we had to find information. Information had to be verified. Had to go through a court process. Causation had to be dealt with instead of corollaries and how much evidence and data is necessary. A court settlement was determined at one point, and like you said, whatever it was, $200 million, and this has allowed people like the organization you're talking about to be funded to go into the schools and educate the kids and bring the level of tobacco consumption and addiction way down within one generation.
A little historical background, I think, is important to understand the tobacco industry and the techniques that they used. The tobacco industry goes back 100 years when they started rolling them commercially. People smoked tobacco before that, but then businesses got involved. But during World War II, in every pack that every soldier got, with food was a pack of cigarettes, and the tobacco industry was able to make addicts, smoking addicts, out of a tremendously high proportion of the soldiers. And of course, I was a child of the 50s, and you know, after every party at my house, well, you go around and empty the ashtrays, please, because everybody smoked. And even the women began smoking. Remember, there was the Virginia Slims introduction in the late 60s. But before that, in 1964, what really changed things was the Surgeon General's report that came out and said, tobacco is harmful. There's no question about that. And this kind of set in motion a resistance to this industry. When we realized that the health, and this is actually the government. You know, many of us have a lot of problems with the government and what the government does, and for good reason. But here is one of the benefits of government, that they could objectively, the Surgeon General could objectively study this process and this addiction and come out with a verifiable statement that tobacco use is harmful. At that time, I believe the smoking rate was something like 42%. Today, it's almost down to 15%.
Wow.
So it's been a tremendous leap. And, of course, 1994 was when they brought in all the liars. Seven liars from the tobacco industry were put, and most of them committed perjury. Is tobacco harmful? No, they all said. Well, that was found to be a lie. Some of them were charged with perjury, I believe. And, in fact, that was kind of the beginning of the their loss, which led to all of these millions of dollars necessarily being given to states. Not all states use that money wisely. Hawaii did. And we dropped our teen smoking rate tremendously in the schools. We went in when the kids were in fourth and fifth grade and talked to them. We were responsible for changing the laws on the island. We were the first island to have smoke-free restaurants.
What time period was this when you went into the schools?
This would be beginning in the year 2000 when the money was finally dispersed to the states.
Okay.
And so we worked on many different fronts. Like I say, even now we worked on beaches. Now they're talking about smoking in cars, secondhand and thirdhand smoke in cars with mm-hmm. children in them.
It seems as though every few years there's more progress being made, you know, not in public places, at restaurants, outside of a door or window, then at a county park, and now in cars. It's like there's tremendous momentum behind this. And is this due to the initial thing in the classrooms or just the movement itself?
I like to look at it as a comprehensive approach. There are many fronts. We also help people quit smoking. That was a big part of what we did, cessation.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting the information out there, and especially talking to the kids when they're young, because it's the peer pressure. We found that if someone doesn't start smoking by the time they're 18, they're not going to start. It's like 90% start before they're 18 years old.
Wow.
Now, of course, today it's the e-cigarettes which are a challenge. Mm-hmm. The tobacco industry doesn't slow down. They're pumping, they're hooking children at 5 and 6 years old in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so internationally. And not only that, I mean, Philip Morris changed its name to Altria. Sounds like altruistic, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not. It's not. And so these are, you know, the propaganda that's used that has to be offset at some level by the public. And I think KKCR, not necessarily in tobacco control, but the freedom to talk about these different issues without harming advertising or not being in it for the money is a critical element that KKCR plays and other stations like this.
What types of media really vaulted the tobacco industry in the 60s?
Television.
Television.
Absolutely television. I mean, I don't think you were alive, but we used to have, you could turn on the television set and there were people in white coats. 3 out of 4 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes, and you'd see them smoking the cigarettes.
Well, you can still find in old magazines pictures of a doctor, you know, with a cigarette. Oh, I always smoke Marlboro every day, you know.
Well, and all the movies,
totally.
Too. All the movies on TV.
Oh, let's not forget the movie industry from the 30s and 40s, which if you look at most of these movies today, if you go on the Turner Channel or something, the amount of smoking, I mean, people walking into hospital rooms with people on their deathbeds with smoking cigarettes.
Did you watch the show Mad Men, like the AMC series? Every single scene, they just pulled cigarettes out of the furniture. They were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching that going, what's
That's
happening?
The culture.
Yeah, like...
You know, there's been a resistance to that in the movie industry, but even today, you go and see these modern movies, the cool guys, a lot of them, they got the cigarettes are used as props to a great extent. and to hide a lack of acting skills in some something to do with your hands.
Well, I will say progress, like blockbuster movies, people aren't smoking. But if you watch an indie film where it's still kind of artful, they're smoking. So I would say that the message for smoking cessation goes out in the larger productions. Or maybe it's just so fast-paced they don't have time to smoke. I don't know.
Well, it goes out on its own, and it has legs of its own, you know. But really, I was curious to broaden this discussion a little bit, because I wonder, at one point, the tobacco industry obviously thought they could win that case, that they could spread what some would consider out-and-out lies and say these things, and they had always gotten away with it before, and they didn't. And so I'm curious your take on if that's had any influence on the development of disinformation as a tactic instead of out-and-out lying about things, withholding information.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, putting a doctor out there, I mean, I know this is in the past, but it's more than propaganda. Propaganda is trying to persuade people over to your point of view. Disinformation is outright lying to people and talking about the benefits of smoking, for
with the
example.
Intention.
Oh, you can relax. It's very good for relaxing.
At the same time, knowing that that's not true.
Absolutely.
That's the difference between disinformation and misinformation.
Right. Misinformation is just incorrect information.
And
disinformation
is in the business of information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where we excel. We are free to actually talk about verified information, you know, and to bring something else into this conversation. Part of the other reason, one of the main reasons we're allowed to do that is because we don't have advertisers. We have underwriters, and I just realized that big part of what the difference is between underwriting and advertising. And people will say, okay, KCR has advertising. That's not necessarily the case. Our underwriting does have guidelines, and it is mandated to not deceive, and it is vetted. Everybody who is an underwriter on the station is vetted by the management to go through this process, and very specific words are used. And, you know, that's just something that it's like a basic contradiction with commercial radio.
Absolutely. I mean, all commercial enterprises fear loss of sponsorship, to be clear. And I don't think KKCR has to worry. I mean, you have other things to worry about.
right.
And it doesn't mean that incorrect information doesn't go over the airwaves. Of course, you know, there's always incorrect information. But as far as disinformation is concerned, you don't walk that path. You know, there's no axe to grind up here, is my feeling.
Okay, so let me make a plug for the Community Advisory Board now.
Yes,
anybody
please.
That can spare some time, we desperately would encourage you to apply for a position on the Community Advisory Board. Kekau Foundation has a good amount of board members now. Okay, so it's our turn. We really need some Community Advisory Board members, and this stuff is exciting.
Yeah. So what is the time commitment with being a member of the Community Advisory
Board? Pretty much only two meetings a year.
Plus this dynamic.
Well, with the shows, and it seems like the show is developing into more of an important or easier or accessible or all of the above form of communication than our meetings.
And then what one does as a Community Advisory Board member would be to communicate with the community and talk about what can your radio station do for you, or
Pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. Anything's on the table. Anybody who comes to us with anything, we'll try to explain what our parameters are, what we're involved with, what we're legally allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, how our democratic organization works. And if it goes further, then
right.
we try to bring them in, make some kind of recommendation, process the good out of it, the productive out of it, and give it to the board.
Right, who then makes decisions about it and then brings that to the station management as well.
Right.
So it's actually you're a liaison between the community at large and the station itself. which is a really dynamic position, and it sounds exciting. And I frequently invite people, like, you know, they'll come to talk to me at the coffee shop about, like, here's what I think KKCR did. Like, I'm not the person for that. Like, I'd love to talk about it, but, like, you know.
Right, like
the guy
board,
you want to talk to is Mickey Sussman.
Well, the board that you're on handles a lot of the business, administrative.
Mm-hmm. We don't get to daydream as much.
Planning.
As the
well, you're the ones who are responsible for all the stuff that somebody like me has a hard time doing. Right?
Yeah, so it's a very cool opportunity. Members of the CAB get to daydream with the community about how their station can be better.
Better and serve the community.
Yeah, and how you can give information, not misinformation or disinformation, to the community, because our KKCR mission statement revolves around education and free speech and all the good stuff.
We better read the mission statement. Is it up here somewhere? It's on my phone.
Oh, I don't have it.
But anyway, that's what we do, and it is really exciting. And now that KKCR has been, you know, on the air for getting to be 20 years, we've seen this stuff works, you know, and we have a really pretty good relationship with the board now and the staff and the programmers, and we're all getting pretty much on the same page here, and, you know, we work like a jazz group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We know what's going on. We don't have to talk about a lot of stuff.
Do you want to maybe accentuate the difference between advertising and underwriting?
Well, I could, if maybe Charlie can help me with that, too. But the underwriting is what mandated by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for as guidelines. And advertising is to sell a product.
And utilizing a call to action. Go and buy this product.
That's a big thing, right. We have no calls to action on KKCR.
Yeah, you never see hear a go down and do
come
this.
On down, like, and we have no command. We don't command you to go buy something from anybody.
And we also never say we have the best
value,
of this, the
value.
Best of this, the best of that. Like,
right.
We don't assign value and don't assign a call to action to any
value comparisons.
Yeah,
I mean, Dean is really the one who's most expert at for the underwriters, but it's a subtle difference, but in a way, it's not. It's the foundation of the radio station, really. And, you know, we have had one or two underwriters who weren't so comfortable with free speech. Aloha.
Mm-hmm. Well, there.
Yeah.
And I like to think that in underwriting, it gives a business an opportunity to align itself with the mission of KKCR. So you are here supporting the radio station with your business.
Rather than specific program, even.
Right. And so I support the radio station as a citizen, but then I can also support it as my business, and my business is the one that aligns itself with free speech and, you know, creative public media.
I think it's really beneficial for me as a listener to hear who the underwriters are at KKCR. I'm always interested to hear who they are. As you mentioned, you know, then I get a feeling that business is aligned, as you say, with these principles of free speech, of offering opinions without salesmanship. So I think that's a really important role, a role that isn't filled anywhere else, really, with the commercialization of all mass media, including here on Kauai, for sure. We've got one newspaper. One thing we found is that a lot of the information that's disseminated on this island, is through the radio. When we were making ads, PSAs for the tobacco control movement, we always targeted radio. Television really wasn't available to us. But we knew that Ron Wiley and the other regular stations are listened to and help form opinions. Mm-hmm. The Garden Island is another matter. They're a monopoly here. And in fact, they're not locally owned. They used to be locally owned. Now they were bought out by commercial enterprise in Honolulu, the Star Bulletin. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the first things they did when they bought it was remove the printing press. So there's no printing press capable of putting out a daily newspaper here. Well, they're consolidating their influence statewide by doing that. No one else can come in and buy out that newspaper and print it right here.
Unless they buy a printing press.
Right, yeah. Which is millions and millions of dollars. That, so
we don't have an app.
Huh. Hey, by then we might.
Speaking of which, we got somebody here who I want to welcome and I want to invite to come and join us. Mr. Yes. Facebook is around here.
Oh.
Cousin Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cousin Hebrew Facebook, who is a wonderful, who is in the business of data mining.
He would probably have
We could use some help with data mining.
a lot of our stuff to
prove causation.
And he would have a lot of perspective on how information gets presented, how it gets spread around.
Media.
I mean,
and
like
bias, having just gone through this conservative something where they had to spock out what he was doing.
Right. I mean,
Mr. Facebook.
Yeah, Mr. Zuckerberg. Mr. Zuckerberg has reinvented how people receive information and how they present information and consolidate information. And it would be interesting to hear what he thinks about disinformation and then also about radio media, too, and the future of radio media.
So here's an invitation for you, Mr. Zuckerberg, cousin. You can contact the Community Advisory Board, or you can contact Dean at the station, or you can contact the Kekahu Foundation, or whatever you like.
Or you can Facebook me.
Or you
Annie Caparuccio.
You can Facebook Annie Caparuccio, okay? And you get a killer cup of coffee out of the deal.
Right. What is the email for the Community Advisory Board?
If someone wants to contact... It's
on the contact on the website.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
So go to the KKCR website, which is kkcr.org,
and
that'll
have
a link to the Community Advisory Board, and then you can get hooked up.
And we have had some people who wanted to join us, and for whatever reason, we didn't get contacted. So if you're listening, please try again, or please come forward.
Yes.
And anybody else. And also we had some new young people at one of our last strategic planning meetings. And I want to invite you, any of you who might want to. What you can do is just come to the next meeting.
Tell us a little bit about what the strategic planning meeting is, Mickey.
The strategic planning meeting is an update. We had a strategic plan about, 7 years ago, 5 years ago?
I think it was
2009,
maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we went through a substantial process. With Roxanne McDougal, we came out with a brilliant plan.
It was a plan for KKCR's future, for the next 5 years or something.
Yeah,
what we wanted to see and what direction we wanted to go.
Programming, membership, contribution to
society. It was a 5-year goal planning thing, and it was supposed to guide the intentions of the statement of the station. And now it's time to update it.
So that's what we're doing now. Yeah. We're updating it because the world has changed.
Because it's been 7 years or so.
Yeah, and it's about time to do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going through that process now, and part of that is maybe starting or making some kind of determination about the mission statement, if we want to change it, if it's necessary. So let me read the mission statement. Okay, KKCR is Kauai's independent, non-commercial, listener-supported community radio station. KKCR seeks to stimulate, educate, and entertain its audience, preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture, reflect the diversity of the local and world community. KKCR provides a forum for overlooked, suppressed, or underrepresented voices and music. The Kekahu Foundation facilitates this broadcasting opportunity. Okay, so that's the mission statement we've been operating under for the last 20 years or so.
Okay, I just want to take a minute because it's 5:30. I just want to let all the listeners know you're tuned into KKCR Kauai Community Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
You bet.
Well, Mickey, you read the mission statement there. Where do you think improvement could come from, or why is it necessary to revisit it, do you think?
Well, thank you for asking that. The question has come to be, this idea of progress or progressive, or even, Mr. Facebook, if we have enough data now to make certain decisions in the direction we want to go, or KKCR's programming, KKCR's policies, KKCR's even our underwriting policy, maybe that needs to be redone too. We've talked about that. But the mission statement, I think mostly what it is we've been educating for many years, and even this little radio station here has had some incredibly brilliant people on these microphones who are very educated, qualified, competent, and people who have contributed to the data, peer-reviewed data. And so the question is now, do we want to call a spade? And, you know, see what the community thinks about this stuff. Do we want to act on any of this data? Or what are we comfortable doing with it? You know, the conversation, that's what it is. We're
what
after.
Does the data have to do with the mission statement?
Well, I guess what it is the data has made it clear, certain things clear. Okay. Or certain corollaries clear. There's been a lot of corollaries that are clear now.
Mm-hmm.
As clear as they were to remove asbestos from schools. As clear as they were to make laws about secondhand smoke. As clear as they were, you know, that smoking contributes to lung cancer. As clear as they were that, you know, if you eat a lot of meat and you don't get a lot of exercise and you don't eat a lot of greens, you get in trouble. Okay, even though there's no causation. I don't know if any of that stuff was proved causation, but we do have a diabetic epidemic now.
Mm-hmm.
An obesity and diabetic epidemic. And
as relates to changing KKCR's mission statement, does it have to do with how we present our information or how...
I don't know if I want to be responsible for making these decisions.
Well,
that's why I'm here.
Right, and the mission statement is a decision like that everyone is involved in, but why would we change it? Like, are we becoming a more progressive radio station, and then what does progressive mean?
Okay, that's a good question.
Are we becoming someone that wants to present different information, or how do we want to progress?
Okay, well, one definition of progressing could be movement or motion or acting upon reason and experience rather than belief or ideology or faith.
Okay.
So we have a good amount of reasonable, we can make reasonable decisions based on the data that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And are we comfortable making any of those decisions?
And how does that distinguish us from other media?
Well, we can have an honest discussion about that without any potentially conflict of interest. I mean, everybody has a bias. Okay, Charlie, you can help with this. We're not saying nobody's not biased, but what we're saying is, you know, we can put our biases in our pocket for a while for the general good. You know, we can have a discussion, and, you know, rather than a war.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully.
Well, that's what the opposite of reason is, conflict. And we've got a lot of them going on right now. You know, and we have very few instruments of education as opposed to misinformation or disinformation or a conflict of interest or whatever it is.
You know, I think we can maybe use that as a bridge to talk a little bit about the role of blogging today. Mm. And people coming out with, you know, their own subjective point of views. And again, really, the lack of objectivity in almost all aspects of media cannot be denied. That's one of the things that I was taught a long time ago. Everything is subjective. We bring our background into it. We bring our history into it. We bring our prejudices into almost everything that we address. And now we have bloggers who are writing unfiltered, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's their point of view. It's what they want to do. They own it. They're responsible for it. But I think this blogging outbreak carries some very dangerous aspects in the sense that there's no editing process going on. It's mm-hmm. free flow. It's not being subjected to someone else's having looked it over and said, you know, I think you're off base here, or this simply isn't true. And because you can command an airwave or a website or something does not mean that what you have to say is accurate. And I think the lack of editing is a real danger here, and along with the fact that not all bloggers will let you know where they're coming from. They may admit that they're subjective, but they may not be telling you who's paying the bills. They may not be telling you, I'm bringing this to you, but I'm going to my KKK meeting tonight. I'm not going to tell you that, but that's really where I'm coming from.
Yeah, they could be just anybody out there, maybe not an expert in their field, but we take them as that because we read it like news.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, commanding the airwaves or commanding the written word has a very powerful influence. Again, back to the Garden Island or the other radio stations, they help form public opinion on this mm-hmm. island, as do some individual bloggers. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're getting inaccurate information, if the information is not being vetted by an editor or someone else who's looking at it more objectively, shall we say, mm-hmm. You may be being fed even disinformation.
Right.
And if you're not disclosing who you may be working for, then, that's just...
Well, that's your hidden agenda.
Yeah.
Right.
But at KKCR, we do encourage people to state where their sources are from. If anything can be verified, we try to verify. And, again, this is getting to be more and more high value.
And as an organization, there's a disclaimer before every show. You heard it before this one, too, that the views and opinions expressed are not the views of the station, the board, the underwriters, all the people involved. Where when you're reading a blog, there's none of that.
Absolutely.
That's
the nature. That's the nature of a blog, really.
Yeah.
And so we need to understand that. Everybody needs to understand that when, you know, somebody blogs about something or somebody, that it's, by definition, mm-hmm. one side.
Absolutely.
By definition.
Absolutely. A subjective opinion. Which doesn't mean that there's not a value in it. You know, there certainly is a lot of value in being able to go around mass media and not being beholden mm-hmm. completely to the commercial marketplace. Is a value. And you know, of course, many people do it maybe for their ego or, you know, whatever reason. And that's fine. That's fine. It's an mm-hmm. opportunity. But we can't take everything we see or what we read as truth.
Right.
And
right.
What really the sad thing, though, is that it affects so much of us now because we've been, I don't know, marginalized and compartmentalized. And when we get information... If we get misinformation or disinformation, it can really do a lot of harm, you know. And I mean, just briefly, I think it deserves to bring up about the joint fact-finding report that came out recently.
Right.
You know, there's certain recommendations, and the main thing seems like was recommended is that. There's not enough studies and there's not enough data to determine causation of illnesses, mm-hmm. increases in illnesses on the wet sides from any chemical spraying. Okay, what that got shortened to or disinformed to was that there's no proof. Nobody could find any proof that any of this is harming anybody.
Right.
And that is just an incredible disservice, an incredible mm-hmm. insult to the people on that panel who worked so hard and, you know, sorted through these things, plus all of us who paid for that.
Right.
You know, it's just, that's what we need to discuss if we've had enough of that. You know, and there's on that report, there's individual reports from each person who wanted to make an individual subjective report. That's in there too. And I just was really touched that we had so many brilliant people on that panel, and I want to thank everybody who's on that panel, especially those who stayed on it and finished the job that they were paid to do,
yeah.
or that Peter was paid to do, helped Peter finish the job that he was paid to do, and had enough respect for everybody to stay on there. And I just think that's great what happened. And that's kind of crossing the line. That's what, has the line been crossed with our public trust? the air and the water and the land? You know, has the line been crossed? I'll ask the question. I'm asking the question. My opinion doesn't matter. What I'm asking is, you know, what does everybody else think about this? Has the line been crossed?
What line exactly are you referring to?
The line where, you know, we've had enough. Oh, we know enough to know we know enough. As Ben Harper says.
Right.
Mister. Mm. Yeah? Do we know enough to know we know enough?
I think a lot of people are feeling that way these days.
Well, that's why I'm throwing the question out, because that's what I get as a community advisory board chair. I get people constantly talking about that stuff with me.
I find, like, in studies and results like this, where there's experts on both sides, and there's good points and bad points on both sides, I find myself to be very distrustful of media now, because I don't know who to believe, you know, because I grew up in the age of information, and I just sort of like, oh, that's what it is, you know, you're an expert, you know, and so I just believe them, and I find myself mistrusting all of it now. Like, I can't even read the BBC because it's all bunk. Just someone trying to sway me or sell me something or what.
Well, we've been overwhelmed with information. I mean, it's just incredible what's happened in my lifetime with the dissemination of information. And one thing I'd like to talk about on Kauai. Kauai has, 70,000 people on it living here permanently? You know, there's not another place in the country that has a more disparate population of 70,000 people than here. You could go to Iowa, and there's a town of 70,000 people there, and they're all going to the same churches, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's unbelievable, the population. And having to address all these people and make sense and understand where they're coming from, where they were born, the diversity is just incredible. That's why it's so hard for the Garden Island, for example, to go back to that newspaper, when they bring in new reporters and first job, maybe. They really don't have an understanding of this population. And I'm not blaming them for that. That's the dynamics of the marketplace. KKCR, on the other hand, has the freedom for representatives from all of these disparate groups to have their say, and I think that's critical for a society.
Exactly. I wish that we had more representation of the diverse groups on Kauai too, and then if we don't have it, then we can invite them in to come and talk with us on our talk shows, and you know, you for example, and I think it's a really valuable resource that we have here.
No question about it. And, you know, for the people who say, well, we don't want to take a government handout, I know you're somewhat, you get some of your funding from the government. Why not? That's our money. why should we just turn over the information that's available to commercial interests? That's not right. Mm-hmm. Commercial interests have access to grind, products to sell. There is a place. I think there should be way more funding for independent programming.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that at some point, when the Public Broadcasting Corporation came into existence, but a determination was made that there needs to be more educational TV and radio.
It was 1964. I read that today.
Really? For the general good of society, there needs to be an educational outlet of TV and radio that is worth it for the betterment of all of society.
Yeah. So the Corporation for Public Broadcasting gives almost all of its funding in grants to publicly owned and operated media outlets. I think it said they keep 1.8% of its budget for operating expenses, and the rest of it gets disseminated to small community radio stations and public stations and stuff.
And even though there may be complaints about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting corporatizing and this and that and loosening up its guidelines for underwriting, still, there is plenty that gets done that wouldn't be done otherwise. And besides, what about Big Bird? You know, how can anybody?
Yeah. Let's go before Big Bird when there was educational TV in the 50s. It was the dullest programming that you could. It would be a professor in front of a blackboard or something talking a particular course. It was just terrible. And now, obviously, today, production value, PBS can stand on its own. With the shows that it offers, et cetera. You folks, I mean, this station wouldn't have existed in the 50s.
Well,
there was no funding for that.
It spawned the Discovery Channel. It spawned a whole cable network of informational, educational, private programs. It's on the cable now.
What I really like is that we get to educate each other as well. We're all in this community, and I learned a lot about the tobacco industry today, too, that I didn't know. And because we're a community broadcaster, I recognize the voices. I can see you in the grocery store later. Like, I feel like I'm enriched directly by my community as a result.
You're part of it. You're part of it, and you're participating.
Yes.
And also, what's even more important is we build a sense of trust with each other.
Yeah, and then I don't have to mistrust the BBC because...
You're reclaiming your birthright. That's what you're doing. You're reclaiming your birthright. And so what our business is undermining hopelessness.
There we go.
We undermine hopelessness.
Can we say that again?
We're in
the business of undermining hopelessness.
That sounds good.
With the truth. And as Don Heacock says, the truth will prevail.
Yeah.
That's a quote from our state biologist.
Right. I'm going to write that stuff down. I'm in the business of undermining hopelessness. Thank you.
And I got another thank you.
That does sound good.
For Josh Tome, I think his name is, the producer of Ina, the movie.
Uh-huh.
He was here again and did a free showing with Terry Tico, has a trailer of her new movie. And they're both being shown in Honolulu together. The completed movies, hopefully for our Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal of Justices,
wow.
who we're supposed to find out who they are in about a week.
Gosh.
And they will be appearing shortly. And this is very exciting.
Yeah.
And they came over, and Terry Tico, I mean, I don't know what I can say about her, except she's been here for a while, and we all know her. And also, she volunteered to do our case pro bono with the court, our ordinance.
Wow.
And they said she wasn't qualified.
Oh.
The president, former president of the bar.
Wow.
So they got a movie. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank you both for doing that and coming and being part of everything.
Right. And I would like to say this is the show of the fifth Monday of the Community Advisory Board. And if you want to be involved in the Community Advisory Board, you can go to kkcr.org. And follow the links and find the CAB and email Mickey Sussman, who's in studio right now, to see how you can participate, being the liaison between the community and the radio station on recommendations and daydreaming about how our station can be.
Daydreaming and brainstorming, right. Mm-hmm. The daydreams turn into a brainstorm and then,
which turn into policy.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets worked out. We've got three or four levels and it goes through the process and we end up with another gem.
And it's fun to make something, you know. You can do it.
That's right.
Oh.
So just speaking of daydreaming and brainstorms and sunsets and everything I want to get into, I just want to mention to our listeners, coming up in about 10 minutes, Sunset Jazz will be here entertaining you for the dinner hour. So please stay tuned to KKCR.
You know, that's one thing I love about the station, too, is the diversity of programming. I mean, the different kinds of music. I just spent a week back in my hometown of Buffalo, New York. I didn't hear anything good on the radio. And that we pick up Toronto stations as well. I feel that the radio stations out here just do a tremendous job. And it starts with KKCR, but so many of them are relevant to me and, you know, on a daily basis.
I was really thinking about this during the fun drive, where, say you have a DJ that plays music on KKCR. They are so into it. Like, Willie Judah has devoted his life to reggae. You cannot tell me that Ron Wiley likes what he plays on the radio.
Don't say that to Ron.
Right.
Don't give him a hard time.
Like,
he's all we had for years.
I know, but I can attest to, like, Red Brick on Sundays. All listen to is the blues,
you know.
So when you were listening to music on KKCR, you were getting the top-notch these people know their stuff.
Well, they're informed, right? They are, yeah. In our music, a lot of our programmers are very well informed about their music.
And they're kind of crazy. They're crazy with it, you know? Just
I gotta say,
how much folk music does Marin have? You know, like that's a value added thing. Like the people that are playing your music are crazy about it. That's nice.
That is true. Yeah, I wanted to just mention. I don't know that you. This is not really so much on topic, but you were talking about the educational broadcasting back in the 60s and 50s, and I just got to say there was one show that was really outstanding, and it was showing in New York. I don't know if it got shown all around the world or all around the country, but it was Pete Seeger doing a show with people like Elizabeth Cotton and Sonny Terry and Brownie McPhee. It was called Rainbow Bridge, I think, or something like that.
There's YouTubes of it.
Yeah, you can see it on YouTube now. Yeah. But, I mean, that was unbelievable to be able to see that. I wish I would have appreciated it. I did watch it a few times, but I wish I would have. I would love to go see it again. So it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Check it out.
So I had one with Mimi and Richard Farina.
I think that changed my life to see those. And it made me a folk music donkey, you know, seeing those things back at a tender young age. And, oh, it was just amazing. So that's how powerful media can be. It can change somebody's life. Can set you in a direction.
Before, it must have been when we were real young. Maybe it was before PBS went on the air. But I remember one program that we all used to watch. And I remember the guy passed away a while ago. And I looked it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I saw some of the episodes that he had. And he had the most cool people on. He had all these jazz musicians on. And you know who he was?
Who?
Soupy Sales.
Oh, my gosh.
Soupy Sales.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to bring it back around, really draw the room together. What is the future of the tobacco-free Hawaii movement that we can expect from this movement?
Well, it's the comprehensive approach. You know, mm-hmm. It's helping people who want to quit. It's getting out the real information on the dangers, for example, of e-cigarettes. You know, for years it was in, you know, 4 or 5 years it was in kind of a shadow. And well, is it bad? Does it help people stop smoking regular cigarettes? I mean, obviously it's the addictive element that's in it that's attractive. Nicotine. It's mm-hmm. pure nicotine. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if it has actually been proven to cause the cancers by itself. It's the ingredients that are added to tobacco today that are so dangerous. There's, you know, hundreds of different compounds and things that are added for the taste, for the ability to draw the smoke more easily. All of these little things have been added. These are additions to tobacco. So as people learn about this and what they're actually taking in, and the fact that e-cigarettes they're finding now, teenagers who start using e-cigarettes and think, oh, well, they do transition into smoking regular cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So the tobacco industry is not doing something to help people get away from their product. They're trying to encompass it and bring it in so that people will find it acceptable.
Hmm. Okay. So they've packaged it differently. And then, so your job is to educate about the packaging.
That's one aspect of it, certainly. Okay. And again, you know, talking to younger people, you know, here's a real powerful thing that I used to say to an adult audience. How many people in here are smokers? Some hands would come up. How many of you smokers recommend that your children begin smoking tobacco? Nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
So why does it still occur? Well, the movies, seeing older people, older teenagers or something, for example, may influence the younger ones, people in the family. So it's really difficult to sort out why it still occurs, but nobody wants their kids to smoke. That says a lot.
That's evident.
Yeah. Well, we've got just about one more minute before we have to wrap it up and allow the Sunset Jazz crew to come on in. Cousin Rich is here. And looking very dapper in a beautiful lei and everything. Wow. All right.
Well, I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much, Annie, Mickey, and Charlie for coming in. A great discussion this afternoon. And thanks to all the listeners for tuning in and for all the support we received during our fun drive. You guys really rock. I got to say, our listeners really stepped up to the plate this time
and
donated we went over our goal, which doesn't happen every time. So we're so grateful for that. Thank you so much. And thanks for inviting me in tonight to get in front of the board again. It's been a long time.
Have you been doing your program with Mose?
No, we stopped. We went away for about 7 months.
Yeah.
And
when
we came back, there was not a place for us anymore. So, so anyway, we're going to tell Dean that we have to go away for a little bit more this summer.
Still gonna
then
go
we're
going
to tell Dean when we come back we want a show. So hopefully we can get back
well,
on
glad
the air
we got
and get
you
Acoustic
for today.
Luau back on the air because we've had so many people come up to us and say, oh, I really miss your show. So I'm sure that we'll get back on one of these days.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Mickey.
All right. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha,
enjoy
everyone.
The jazz.
Thanks so much
cool.
for tuning in.
Remember your ABCs.
Yes.
Always be cool.
There we go. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.